Okay, I'm going to count this in and we'll move forward. In three, two.
This is Rene Perez, director of Playing with Dolls Havoc, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Terrible things. And now he's back for more. And this time he's unleashed. He just wants to play. They can run. They can hide. They can fight. They can even cry. But in the end,
hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jacob
and Logan.
And today we have three special guests with us today. We have Stormy Maya. She's the actress from Playing with Dolls Havoc. We have Pete Metz. He's the producer of the same movie. And we have Renee. He is the director of Playing with Dolls Havoc. So to all of you, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having us, Richard.
Yeah, thank you, Richard.
Thanks.
And what we're going to be doing is with Playing with Dolls. It is a new movie that's come out that these three are involved with. So we're going to be having a little bit of fun discussing what's going on with the movie. There might be some times where we won't step on any toes, but Renee's promised to keep us in line if we do. We'll have a little bit of fun along the way, so everybody will have a great time. But we're going to start off with some general questions. The gentleman might have some questions for you as well, so we'll kind of alternate and bring in different people at different times.
We're ready.
The first one, of course, I want to start off with Renee, since he's the director. You have developed this Playing with Dolls franchise with two movies. This is the third in the franchise now.
Yes.
We've been fortunate enough to see these movies as well. And the concept from the beginning all the way through the third is the lead killer. And it's a very strong concept which you developed. And I just wanted to know what the thought process was for you when you created this character for your centerpiece.
The masked killer, well, his name is Havoc, as we all know now with this new movie. He is striking to look at, but his personality is very interesting. I think more interesting than you would think for a basic slasher movie. It's weird, you know, because all these slashers are so crazy and you don't know what's going through their head. But I did design something going through his head. I have him as a person who is afraid of death, and he is trying to have power over death by dealing it to others. So he controls death, the power of death, and he's just a crazy man. I think that's the concept you were wondering about, and that's the that's what's going on inside of his head.
Okay.
Slightly different. I don't know if they've explained that with any other Michael Myers or Jason or any of these other guys, but that's what happens with Havoc. That's what he does.
Okay. So, and basically, when you were developing this character, were you looking at, you know, you mentioned Michael Myers, but were you looking at even actual real life serial killers to get a little bit of inspiration from, or was this just something completely out of your head?
Of course, I do have the knowledge of real serial killers, and I do have the knowledge of movie serial killers too, just in the lexicon. But I didn't really pattern him after anyone, and it's really weird to write crazy people in movies, especially when you're a normal, boring, normal person with no psychopathies. to write about someone who's crazy enough to kill for pleasure. So it is a funny thing. It's hard. You just kind of have to make things up, and that's what I've done. I've made it up with him, and I gave him that the craziness of being afraid of death and wanting to control it by doing it to others. So that's really the driving force of him. Also, you know, he is a crazed killer who sometimes the little boy he used to be is disgusted by him. So sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed, when he is doing what he does, sometimes that little kid inside of him peeks out and says, "Oh my God, what monster, what thing are you? You know, what have you become?" So yeah, he's a complicated slasher, possibly more complicated than slashers we've had up until now. But he's not based off of anyone real or fictional.
Okay. And Renee, you said that that Havoc, he tries to control death by dealing it to others. Is he trying to, I guess, does he in the back of his head think that he can escape his own death by giving it to others? I mean, I realize we're jumping into the woods for a slasher film, but or is it just a hey, I'm going to control it for as long as I can until it comes for me type thing?
Well, it's actually an established thought that people who are murderers have a proclivity towards giving pain to other people to suppress their own. So I think that this is, I don't know if it's been documented with any serial killers. I don't know if they've done that kind of research, but I think a lot of people who are afraid of death and try to control, well, basically anything you're afraid of, you try to control. And that is a human tendency, and I don't see that it wouldn't apply to serial killers as it matters to killing and death. I think it gives him power over death, and that's what he's looking for in his craziness.
Got to keep in that craziness there. Stormy, I want to ask you a question with one of your quotes that you've had when you were sending out messages. And when you were doing the movie, was you were excited because you always want to be a scream queen. Just, I did see that, which is great. I mean, you want to have fun with your work, so I applaud you for that. So, but what was your experience with the film? And when you said you wanted to be a scream queen, who in the back of your mind did you picture as the one you wanted to most emulate? But did you have fun on the set, and how was that like?
Well, when Renee messaged me, it was pretty exciting because I've always loved the whole fantasy horror genre and I wanted to be a part of it. So doing the film is very interesting because everyone always asked me, was it CGI? Were you really inside the caves? I was like, yes, we actually were. And it was really exciting to be in this crazy location and, you know, I have to put myself in that mindset that I really am going through, like I'm really going through this fear, because I don't want it to come off as acting. I want it to come off as this person's really, you know, fighting for her life. So I mentally put myself in that state where I'm like, oh my God, okay, like, you know, let me pretend like I really, really am going through this. And it really helps when you have a crazy cool location, like a cavern, and it's dark and scary. And then you have a crazy monster like Havoc to work with. So it really puts you in that mood, because I really was scared of him.
That's what I was going to ask. How did the underground location, how did that affect? Did that help with getting the performance out?
Yeah, it really helps put you in that. I mean, especially because Havoc is so scary. I mean, in person, he's like 6'5", and he's like this big guy, and he's just terrifying. So, you know, it's just like it puts you in that mindset. So it's so easy to pretend like you're actually going through that.
Okay. Did you have some, Logan?
Especially if you're playing someone who's playing a role.
True. That is true.
You're playing an actor, playing a... Not sure what that would be.
It was basically a reality game show type. And Renee, you use this in your other movies, you know, with the second one. You use that when you had them kind of the horror real reality show. You kind of carried that theme through, but it does take a quick divergence. But one of the things is, and anybody can answer this, whether Stormy, Pete, or you, with the popularity of horror genres now, and they've actually had these type of shows on TV. I mean, how, and I always go to fun houses to think this, when you're on these type of shows, how do you know that a person's not going to snap and it actually becomes true real life? So, you know, does that kind of tickle the back of your mind too when you're like Stormy, you said you were filming, you're kind of like, oh, this is a little creepy, but even Renee or P, when you're in these situations, does that kind of enter the back of your mind when you look at these reality shows or fun houses?
Well, I wasn't aware that they had that on television, but that sounds like a cool thing. And we didn't let Stormy see Havoc until he came out to get her. So that was a cool thing on my part.
That's true.
So that was a surprise.
And we have that taken in the movie. And yeah, we were in a deep, dark, dank cavern for Stormy's scenes. And it's a hell of a place, and it definitely gets you in the mood. I mean, you are underneath a mountain. You're inside with all these stalactites, these ancient caverns. It's pretty pretty amazing. We used it in the last one, but this time we really took everyone through a roller coaster in those caverns. So definitely a great place to film. And Stormy is great, and she actually does have a Scream Queen person that she looks up to. Why don't you tell them who it is?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
There you go. The queen, of course.
I love Jamie Lee Curtis, and I've always wanted to be a Scream Queen like Jamie Lee Curtis, but I'm working my way up to it. Some people say I can claim it already, but I'm like, no, I cannot. I have to work my way up to that status. But I want to be a big Scream Queen. I love horror because it's just, I know, I honestly get bored of movies that focus on everyday problems. You know, every day we live in this world with politics and race issues and religion issues. I love to be able to put people in a fantasy state where it's like something we can all relate to. You know, people all over the world can relate to action scenes and gore scenes. We can all relate to being in fear. And it's great to finally get out of your crappy reality and go into this whole nother world where there's bigger issues than the things we worry about every day. Now we're worried about a psycho killing us with a mask on. So it's just great. That's why I love horror so much.
This is kind of for anybody that wants to feel it, but Pete and Renee, especially for you, filming in that environment. You know, Stormy's kind of mentioned about how the acting was, but filming and Pete, you being the producer and being responsible of, you know, you're basically Renee's right hand man. You know, he's counting on you as well. What was the challenges, and even not just in that location, but throughout the whole movie, what were some of the challenges you had to face, but that one in particular? Because that definitely was a challenging arena for you guys.
Well, I was Renee's does such an awesome job. You know, I'm sure there were challenges with the movie, but he didn't ever really tell me about any challenges. So I just trusted Renee. I mean, he does such good work, and he's super talented at what he does. And he's had so many movies at Best Buy and, you know, Netflix. And, you know, so I was just, I just trust him, and he does a great job. So I think he can probably answer what any challenges he might have had.
He's too kind. Well, yeah, the cavern was a challenge for sure. I mean, it's wet, it's dank. There's water dripping on us and the equipment and the actors, and the floor is slippery, and you've got people doing stunts, and, you know, action is happening. And then, although it's a slasher movie, we don't spend the entire movie in a cabin, as you can, right, you know, as you can from the other movies. We're all over the place. And our other biggest challenge was the snow. I mean, you saw some scenes where they were falling into the snow. Well, that was happening to us. I'd be walking around carrying my camera and my tripod, and I would just sink a few feet into the earth, into the snow. And yeah, that's just life. But the thing is, it's important for me to have beautiful locations, because like Stormy said, we want to have people experiencing a fantasy, even though the premise is not fantasy like dragons and witches, but it is a beautiful world. Even though crazy things are happening, we have beautiful girls like Stormy. Even the artistry of the mask on Havoc and all the locations that we have are beautiful. So it is a trip for the audience to experience such a beautiful world. And I try to make the camera work as to capture all the beauty as much as possible. Even though we have these ugly, macabre things happening in the story, it's all set in a beautiful world. So it is very difficult to film out there. We would be better just to make movies that take place all in one location, just like all the most of the horror movie people do, but we want to go the extra mile for our audience and give them the beauty of all this we have around us here.
Cool.
That's why we go through all these crazy places.
And you love shooting on location. And that's one of the things you like. And you try to do practical effects for the majority of everything you do as well, which I appreciate. Because in this day and age, there's a lot of computer going on, which is great for some movies, but for some, it kind of takes away.
Well, if you're doing a photorealistic movie, where everything in the movie looks real, and you can't afford effects like the Avengers or whatever, you better not even try to do CGI. I mean, our gore effects and all these things are hard to even look at because they look so real. And we wouldn't be able to afford to do that in CGI. Even if I had all the money in the world, I don't think I would use CGI effects. It just takes all the fear out of it.
One of the things I want to get into, there's several questions. I don't know if we're going to get to all of them, so I apologize if we don't, to the audience out there. But for Pete and Stormy, you can answer first, and then Pete. We've been fortunate enough to share an experience with Renee, like you two did. You're both kind of new to the film industry as of this, I think 2015-ish, looks like. Did you realize, you know, we had one of our cohorts that was unable to be here tonight. He was on the floor for almost an hour and a half straight, I believe, Renee. And I know, Stormy, you were lying. Were you ready and expecting how long some of these shots would take? And, you know, everybody thinks it's so simple. And to a degree it is, but then there's that flip side that it's hard as well. Were you aware of that going in, or were you kind of shocked?
I was never shocked. I've been in the industry for 6 years, not necessarily the film industry for 6 years, but I've been a professional theater actress and a model for 6 years, so I was used to music videos taking that long, shoots taking that long, and in theater things take a long time. Renee wasn't my first film. I did feature films before him, and I've also did short films before him.
Okay.
So I was fully aware of the process taking a while, and I went in 100%. Like, my whole attitude was, I'll do whatever I have to do to make this film fantastic. So yes, it was wintertime, and I was wearing a short sleeve shirt, and I was freezing, and it was wet, and I almost died on the ground, but it's okay. End of the day, it doesn't matter, because like Renee always says when we film, he says, you suffer for a short amount of time for a long-term reward, because ultimately, you know, yes, filming is a lot of work, and yes, it's a lot on the body and you're exhausted, but you have a movie for the rest of your life.
Right.
So, and then even after you're gone, the movie's going to exist. So ultimately, you know, I try to like not complain. I try to just toughen up, and it's worth it. Now we're here talking about this great movie. So, you know, I have no complaints, and I love working with Renee. He's a great director, and he gets things done very fast, and he gets them done great, and he's not lazy, so
no, definitely not. Definitely not. I can attest to that. Before we go to Pete, you kind of mentioned that you've done other work, and I know you've been on both sides of the camera. Which side do you prefer more? Are you wanting to lean more towards the acting side, or would you rather be behind the camera?
Well, when it comes to behind the camera, I mean, I'm like Pete, where I guess I'm a producer.
Mm-hmm.
But I love being in front of the camera. I love being a star. I love being, you know, all the attention on me. The only reason I started producing is because after speaking with Renee, he suggested to fuel my career, I should push myself and create my own work, and I should produce. So ultimately, I love being in front of the camera. Producing is just a way to make that happen even more.
Cool. Okay. And Pete, back to you about the grueling days. Were you expecting that when you stepped into this role as producer?
Good question. I actually didn't really spend a whole lot of time on set. I think I actually only spent maybe 3 or 4 hours with Renee up in the cabin they were filming at. I took them all pizza and beer.
Hey, I've been there. I've done that.
That part was a lot of fun. But honestly, from my experience, you know, what I've been really focusing on is the marketing piece and also getting this movie out and distributed. We're actually self-releasing this one. We're not going to be working with any distributors, or it's not going to hit Netflix or Amazon Prime. And so we're going to be self-releasing it and doing campaigns, Facebook, online, and really targeting all the horror fans out there. And it's such a great movie. Like the finished product is so amazing to see it all come together. We've done a couple movies together now, and this turned out amazing. I mean, we did a home preview with a few other fans, and Stormy was there, and there's, you know, quite a few scare scenes that, you know, really are amazing scenes, and I think fans are going to really like the movie.
And it is great.
Yes. You brought it up, Pete, so I'll bring Renee back in with this point because I wanted to ask this. When we've been talking, and we've visited with Renee in the past, as everybody knows, you like to be able to scare people. And you definitely were able to do that at our house. But when, and I'm calling Renee in, but he's going to kind of take a back seat right now because I'm going to put you two on the spot, Stormy and Pete. And Renee, when you watch movies at home, not the theater, but when you're at home, when you're watching the movies, how do you two watch the movies? And I guess there's no right or wrong answer, but for me, there really is a wrong answer. But how do you watch movies at home when you're with your family or friends?
Stormy and Pete.
Oh, me.
Yeah, for Stormy and Pete.
Pete, you can start.
your question is, how do I watch the movie that we just created?
Any movie. Any movies, and specifically horror. How would you watch a horror movie at home on a DVD?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I like watching horror. I typically like to have, you know, just a dark room. Hopefully I have a really good looking girl next to me. That's always a plus. I don't like watching horror movies by myself because then I don't ever go to sleep.
And how about you, Stormy? How do you watch your movies when you're at home?
The horror movies, correct?
Or any movie. Horror movie specifically, but any movie.
Well, now, you know, since I started doing filming, it's such a weird experience watching movies now because you appreciate so much more of what went into it. So I appreciate more the filmmaking than the actual product. So when I watch movies and I see certain angles they use or different filming techniques or acting, in the way the actors are acting and delivering their lines, I pick up on all those things now. So I don't just sit back and watch a movie like a regular person. I kind of pick it apart, and I don't know, appreciate more as an art form than I think regular people do.
Oh,
and
Renee, your mentoring has taken effect. I think that you're pretty much doing the same thing when you watch movies now, I think.
If it's a good movie, I don't analyze it. I'm just along for the ride. I love the few times that can happen. It happens very few times where a movie is so good that I just roll with it. But when I'm watching horror movies, especially, I mean, any movie, I turn off the lights, I turn on the stereo, and I don't own a cell phone, but if I did, I wouldn't be on it or on my computer. I just watch it. You know, if you're watching a horror movie especially, or a comedy, those are movies that are out to get a visceral response from you. Mm-hmm. So you do need to have the lights off and the sound up, because you are either in a comedy movie, you're trying to watch the gags that will make you laugh. If you're watching a horror movie, you want to get the mood that they're trying to present and make sure you catch any jump scares that are coming. It's not just me as a director saying that people should do that. It's just that if you've taken the time to rent the movie or pirate it or whatever people do these days, you're robbing yourself of the experience by not paying attention. Because if it's a good movie, if it's a good horror movie, you will get scared, but you do have to actually watch the movie, which is crazy to think you have to say that to people. But there are people who watch movies with their phone in one hand and their tablet on the other, and the lights on and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're just robbing yourself of the experience, and I don't even know why you'd bother. So for me, it's lights off and sound system up for any movie I watch, but specifically horror.
That's what Renee told me. You said that people a lot of times will say a movie's not scary, but they'll be like on their phone and just like missing every jump scare and everything going on. And they're like, oh, it wasn't scary because they weren't watching it.
Yeah, they were like, anyone who watches Playing with Dolls Havoc is going to get scared. The only thing they have to do is just watch it. Very simple. Just enjoy it, and we will do our part to scare you, and you'll get everything you want out of this kind of movie.
And when we first met with Renee, you remember, we usually watch these as a group, which we did with this, and we just made an off comment that, you know, we turned out the lights and watched them, and Renee was like, yes, thank you. And so I'm definitely an advocate for the same thing, so glad to see that that's rubbing off on everybody, and maybe the more and more people will start enjoying movies more in that way.
You're a film critic, so of course you guys do that. hopefully everyone who watches Playing with Dolls Havoc will do the same.
Oh. You know, I saw the movie a few times while Renee was actually directing it. He'd show me some of the skits, and honestly, every time I watch it, I jump like out of my seat.
Yes, you got a few of us as well. And the one I appreciated most, and just conversing with Renee a little bit as we were, I think it was right after we watched it, I believe, Renee, I can't remember right now though, was one of the most simplest effects was one of the most effective for me. It's like, wow, it's so simple but so effective. And to be able to do that and think of that, being so simple, you don't really realize would have such a big impact. So I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give away a big amount of scene, but great.
Kind of an important scene. I don't know how to talk around that one.
Yeah, it was great just using that. One of the things, and Logan might chime in here a little bit, and we're kind of go back with you, Renee, for a moment, and go a little bit more into the story. One of the storylines you took, Logan and I were kind of like,
you almost could have made this a movie on its own.
Right. You kind of dived into a little bit of a drama. And it's like, and I wanted to ask you, do you have that little tickle in the back of your mind, maybe thinking about a drama?
Well, I just wanted to add a drama that was kind of universal, that everyone's either been in or some variation of that situation. Wow. And I think the reason why you're calling it out as a drama, which is correct, is that, you know, these movies, Playing with Dolls, they're not comedies. They're not campy horror movies. They're straightforward horror, and yeah, we do take the drama pretty serious. So if you were just switching channels, you'd think you're watching a drama movie until you know, the guy comes out with a big weapon to hack everyone up. So, I appreciate it. I'm glad you guys saw that. That's just basically, that's a testament to my good actors, that they could make it look like we're filming a drama movie where this craziness happens. And I try to go above and beyond when it comes to horror movies, make sure that we get the acting right, because everyone expects the actors to just be, you know, whatever. It's a horror movie. No one cares. They just want to see the guy with the mask.
Right.
We took it pretty serious and made sure that our story stood up. And the guy with the mask is, although he's the star and the pinnacle of the movie, he is the parts where he's not in should still be at their best and acted as seriously as possible.
Jumping back to you, Stormy, when Renee's talking about the acting and how he wants to pull the best out of people, by looking into your background, you're a confident young woman, because I'm definitely older than you. I got the gray hair to prove it here. But you're a confident young woman. The character you play doesn't necessarily have all that confidence. So was that a challenge, you know, trying to rein yourself back a little bit to portray that? And you'll have a range of things you'll be dealing with as an actor, but, you know, when you're trying to suppress a personality trait, that has to be a little bit challenging. How did you kind of work through that and get into that character?
Well, the way the character was described to me is, well, I'm like some naive girl that's just trying to be on, you know, like these typical reality star girls. They're like, oh, I want to win money. I want to be on TV. So it wasn't delivered to me that the character had to come off a certain way, personality-wise. The character could have had my exact personality, and it would have been fine. But the thing is, when I go into an acting role, I try to add a little bit more to the character. I don't want it to be a one-dimensional person. Because in order for people to relate to a character, you have to have layers to you. So, like, if people look at you in a movie and you just come off like this bland, I'm memorizing lines person, it's hard to connect. But I'm coming off as this scared woman that comes off as confident, but she's kind of not sure what's going on around her. And, you know, I don't know. To me, it wasn't necessarily a challenge, but because even though the character didn't have my exact personality, she still had parts of me in her. Mm-hmm. Renee stresses a lot about the acting. Which is good. He's a very good director, and he's honest a lot about it. The number one thing he tells us is, you can't ruin the movie with bad acting. The movie has to have good acting. Because, yes, people will still watch it, because it has boobs in it, and it has gore in it, but he does not want to be known as a person who makes movies with bad acting.
Right.
And so I made sure that I trained really hard for it, and I don't know, that character just came out of me. But, you know.
Cool. What's that, Renee?
If it was really like Stormy, she probably wouldn't even be afraid of Havoc. She'd probably knock them out. So, yeah, just suppress her a little bit.
I usually get my way when I show my boobs, so I usually don't, you know, have anyone attacking me. I'd be like, save me. And
Havoc wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah, Havoc doesn't care about boobs, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. He does not. Pete, going back to you with the duties that you've had to do, like I said, we've been on a venture with Renee. And like I mentioned, you said you were bringing in pizzas and beer. We did that, and he was utilizing everybody as much as he could. What were some of the other duties that he drafted you into? You know, we were holding boom mics. We were trying to help him with whatever we could. You know, what did he draft in you into that you were like, oh, okay, I'm here, I can do this?
Good question.
I just wanted Pete to put all his attention to this self-release that we've done. It was very hard to make this movie available in the way that he did. And it's actually the most beneficial situation we've ever had as independent filmmakers. So I just wanted all of his energy on the self-release of this movie, and I tried not to bother him with anything else as far as what he's done in the past, like hold lights and stuff like that. He's been there. I want him to save all his energy for the important self-release. Okay. That
so he was utilizing you, Pete, in a different manner, but a role that you took on heartily, I'm assuming. So it sounds like you did a great job.
Thanks. You know, I like I said, Renee did a great job with this movie, and with the releasing, we're really happy and we're really excited about you know what the results are going to be. And we have amazing actors, Stormy, Nicole Stark. We just, you know, we're just really excited about it. And this is my second movie, and I before meeting Renee, I didn't really know anything about the movie industry, and I've learned a lot since then, and I'm really fascinated by the industry, and I want to learn more, and I'm learning more, and I'm really excited to keep going with Renee and keep building on what we already have.
Well, it sounds like he's earned some of his trust, because you know, I don't think he'd let this go to anybody with the release of Playing With Dolls Havoc, so congratulations on that to both of you.
Thank you.
Stormy, kind of question back to you, going back to some of the modeling that you've done, I saw some of your shots, and in one of them in particular, we, as you said, you can see, nobody else can, but you can see the office that we're in where we're recording. We do like to stay young. I'm into the comic book genre, but you had a short haircut, and you had, it looked like a more of a sci-fi look or an anime or Japanese animation look. So are you interested in those type of genres and maybe possibly tipping your toes into that as an actress as well, just having fun with it?
To me, horror and fantasy kind of bleed together. So when I say sci-fi and horror, mm-hmm. to me, those are the two genres I really focus on.
Okay.
So I like when I did Butterfly Chase, I did another movie, and it was a sci-fi movie, and I had short hair in that, and I do a few other sci-fi films where I have shorter hair, because sometimes for sci-fi I have no idea, they just love short hair. Renee loves long hair, and he always tells me, Stormy, when we film you have to have long hair. He loves it, and Pete loves it. Are you waving at me?
I like long hair too.
Oh okay, I was like, what are you doing? No, definitely for horror, since Renee told me that I have a leading lady look, and it's horror movies, and you know, they love the bombshells. I have my long hair for that. But I definitely do love the sci-fi, fantasy, action part of things as well. I'm just not interested in, like, day-to-day drama and day-to-day comedy. Not saying I would turn it down, but it just doesn't excite me the way horror does in fantasy.
And Renee, we're going to touch on a few things with you before we wrap up. A couple of different things just to have fun with and see if Pete or Stormy caught some of this. They might not have when they watched it. But to start off with, playing with Dolls Havoc, you've kind of dipped your toes back into the comic book medium. You've done this with a fan comic with Star Trek The Next Generation. And you've also now worked with this with, I believe, was it Simon? Oh, God. LaPrize, I hope I'm saying that correctly, for the art. Simon LaPrize,
great artist, and you know, he's just a fan of the Playing with Dolls movies, and he contacted me about this, and I said, great, you know, it's a chance to do a story that wouldn't work for a film. So another story with the character of Havoc that wouldn't translate that well to film, or probably wouldn't even be able to be released. Honestly, it's so crazy. It would probably be beyond anyone's guidelines of perversion. So it was just a chance to go really extreme in a world where you could do that. So there's big SWAT teams after Havoc and everything like that. So yeah, it's a great little comic book, and it's a great companion piece to the movie Havoc.
So if everybody wants to view this comic book, well,
yeah, it's on Amazon. They can go into Amazon.com and search for Playing with Dolls, and it's a comic book there. Okay. And Simon LaPrize's name, my name, Renee Perez, they'll be able to find it. It's a great little comic book.
Cool.
Barry McCaw.
Hey, that's fun. For some of us out here, maybe not everybody, but for some of the other couple of little things before we let you all go, because I know this is pretty late for you guys and you're taking time out of your schedule, so thank you again for everybody doing that. And I didn't realize, Stormy, you were in New York, so I was just doing Pacific times with Renee. I wasn't figuring in Eastern times, so I'm glad you were able to work everything out.
No problem.
But some of the few things, and this is, you said you both watched the movie. We'll see how well you know Renee. There was one little clip at the pretty much very end, and I mean very end of the film. And it's a little callback to the movie. Did you two catch that? And if not, I'll tell you what it is after we finish recording. But did you actually see that little clip? And I don't know if Renee wants you to actually mention the answer specifically on air, but that's up to Renee. What do you think, Renee? Yay or nay?
Probably it's such a good surprise at the ending. I hope I would prefer not to talk about it, because if people happen to listen to this before watching the movie, it'll kind of ruin it. So
everybody out there, you've heard the question, and we're going to get with, I'm not letting you two off the hook yet. We're going to have you two answer this off the air. But everybody listening, check out Playing with Dolls Havoc. Watch the complete movie, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And the other thing is a little nod, I believe, to a franchise I'm near and dear to. But there's a little section in the movie where I guess one of the military men or guards mentions Echo 7 to Echo Base. Do either of you two, Pete or Stormy, know where that little nod might be coming from?
Knowing Renee, it's probably something all deep, and I have absolutely no idea. He always has reasons behind the names and behind numbers. I don't know. I should know.
I'll guess just from me hanging out with Renee, I'm going to guess it's from Star Wars.
Oh, my God, probably. Yes, he is obsessed with Star Wars. Obsessed. Excessively.
Oh, there you go. Yes, The Empire Strikes Back. And Renee, were you kind of surprised I caught that with the viewing I had? Or?
Well, no, I knew that guys of your expertise would know. Yeah. Actually, in all the Playing with Dolls movies, the people speak with Echo Base, Echo 3 to Echo 7. So, yeah, that's just, you know, when it comes to names, it's just, I don't have any kind of talent for naming things. So I pick names out of something. For example, every name of every person in this movie is named after an actor from the Ridley Scott movie called Legend.
Okay.
So you'll see the girlfriend is called Mia, and the wife is called Sarah. That's Mia Sarah. All and right. The husband is called Mr. Curry. They call him Tim, so that's Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
So
yep.
I just snatched them up from places.
Okay.
I had to think about that one.
Well, it was kind of fun seeing those, and I'm sure there's probably, like you mentioned, there's other little nods in there as well, and that's part of the fun of watching the movies as well, seeing those little nods that are in there. We're going to be wrapping up because we're getting close to our time here and letting everybody, and especially Miss Maya, she's an hour later than we are, so we're definitely keeping her up later. But well, it's New York. She's probably used to this. I don't know.
It's only 12:30 a.m. It's not that late.
But we want to, starting with you, Maya, Pete, if you want to chime in, and Renee as well, some of the contacts where people can follow you, see what you're doing within your careers. So we'll start with you and Stormy, and how can everybody keep in touch with you and see what you're doing?
For me, people can go to Facebook and just search Playing with Dolls and find our Facebook page.
Okay.
Playing with Dolls Havoc.
Okay, so that's Pete. So Stormy, what about you? Do you have some different avenues where people can keep it, you know, apprised of what you're up to in your career?
Sure. My name is Stormy Maya. That's my legal name. And you can find me on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter under that name. That's just my name. So I'm the only Stormy Maya anywhere in the world. I actually Googled it. So you can keep up with me and Playing with Dolls and all the other projects me and Renee have planned. And so, yeah.
And Renee?
Yeah, actually, I have an Instagram too, just for
Oh, now you have Instagram.
Pete Metz, just my name.
Okay. And on Twitter, are you either of both of you on Twitter, or is that a dead medium for you?
I love Twitter. Oh, but I'm on Twitter. By the way, Stormy is spelled with an I, not a Y. So it's Stormy, S-T-O-R-M-I, Maya, M-A-Y-A. I love Twitter. I'm on there. I'm on everything. Facebook, Twitter, Facebook fan page, Tumblr.
So anybody that's out there, if you want to follow Stormy, check out those three locations. We'll have links as well to those. Pete, you have your Instagram and the Playing with Dolls Facebook account as well. Renee, what about you? We've had you on before, but
I don't
just
have any of those things. But you can see the movie on Amazon. Playing with Dolls Havoc, it's on Amazon. You can also see the movie in full 4K at YouTube. You know, YouTube rents, and you can purchase movies there too. Okay. And you can see the movie in 4K for everyone who's got a 4K monitor TV. I would love you if you could watch it in 4K. And the Facebook page is facebook.com/ Playing with Dolls Movies. And the website is...
What are you?
The website?
Our website is
pwdhavoc.com.
pwdhavoc.com.
Okay.
I just
got
it. There you go. And Renee, you also have your IDIC page as well, your webpage?
Yeah, you know, that's mainly just for distributors and stuff, but that's not really a public thing. But yeah, there's idicentertainment.homestead.com for anyone who wants to get in contact. But right now, you know, if anyone takes away anything from all of our contact information, YouTube is the place where to watch this movie in its best quality.
Okay, and we'll have those links available for everybody, so definitely check that out. Anything else you guys want to... Any stories you want to tell on anybody while we're here?
I just want to say, no pirating.
There you go.
Don't be cheap.
Yes, definitely.
Buy the movie.
or just don't pirate it. I'm, you know, pirating is such a huge problem. It's the reason why we get only sequels, prequels, and remakes and things based off of brand recognition. Piracy of movies is ruining everything, especially for little independent films like ours. Ours might not look like it. I know by some of the trailer, you guys will think this is a big studio movie like Friday the 13th or something like that, but we are really the smallest independent fish out there, and we're all just trying to, you know, buy our groceries and pay our mortgages. So even the big studios can't handle piracy. It destroys their movies. It would be an absolute detriment to ours. So hopefully you guys out there who pirate movies, hopefully you could not do that with Playing with Dolls Havoc.
Yeah, remember to pay for them too.
Yes, definitely pay for it. Definitely. Like,
if you do pirate a movie, remember to send the producers and everybody 20 as well. Don't forget to do that.
But
if you pirate the movie, I will not be your friend.
There you go. That works.
And if you're not Stormy's friend, then life is not worth living.
Okay, we're going to start wrapping it up here. We've been having fun discussing Playing with Dolls Havoc. We've had the director, Rene Perez, with us. So, Rene, thank you again for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
And we've had Stormy Maya. She's one of the actresses in the movie. Thank you so much, Stormy.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And Pete Metz, the producer. Thank you as well, kind saw.
Hey, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it. You guys are awesome, and we love your show.
Well, thank you very much. And again, we've been visiting about Playing with Dolls Havoc. Go to Amazon or YouTube to get your digital movie. And be sure, like we've talked about in the podcast, watch it with the lights out. We've been having fun. Hopefully everybody out there has been having fun as well. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.